Would you like to see yourself as God sees you? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Today we want to talk about the nature of man and who man is. Now, in this series, I make this contention. I think that we have lost perspective of both God and man. And we as a people have a warped perception of God, and we have a very inflated opinion and perception of man. And as we read this passage of Scripture and unpack it, some of you aren't going to like what is said here.
Most of us like to think of ourselves as pretty good people, overall. I mean, we don't steal, murder, or hurt others. We're generally nice folks that work, have fun, treat people fairly, and just go about our lives. But does that make us good people? How does God perceive you? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us as we continue in Pastor Jeff's insightful and, for some, very revealing series entitled Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Now, today, Pastor Jeff shares the biblical truth about God's nature and our nature and how they differ. He'll be in Romans chapter 3 to provide us with the unabridged answer concerning what we are really like, our true nature. Now, we're going to be in this new series for the next 10 days or so, so if you miss any of these powerful lessons, you can always listen again online if you missed them at fromhisheart.org. Now, open your Bible to Romans chapter 3. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin asking the big question. Do you see what God sees?
The year was 1962, and a new Christmas song was born. It was an interesting song, and in the song, it asked three questions. The first question, do you see what I see? The second question, do you hear what I hear? And the third question, do you know what I know? The song ends up with a stanza that goes this way, said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? God is saying to you and to me, listen to what I say. We're in a series called Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Today we want to talk about the nature of man and who man is. Now, in this series, I make this contention. I think that we have lost perspective of both God and man. And we as a people have a warped perception of God, and we have a very inflated opinion and perception of man. And God has a passage in His Word, really all throughout His Word, we find out the true nature and character of man. But Romans chapter 3 really pinpoints what God sees, what God hears, what God knows. As we read this passage of Scripture and unearth this passage of Scripture and unpack it, some of you aren't going to like what is said here. Some of you are going to argue as I'm preaching. You're going to argue in your mind, no, that's not true. No, I don't like that. But listen to what God says. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written. And he quotes from different passages of the Old Testament. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Man was walking through the park in Scotland on a beautiful summer day. He was a Christian, and he had in his pocket a New Testament. And he was walking through the park, and there were some college-age students that were just kind of goofing around, having fun, enjoying the beautiful day. And they asked this man, they said, "Hey, will you take a picture of us?" And he said to them, "I already have your picture." They said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I already have your picture. I have it here in my pocket." They said, "What are you talking about?" And he pulled out his New Testament and he turned to Romans chapter 3 and he read that passage of scripture that I just read. And he said, "That's your picture. That's who you are outside of Jesus Christ." Hey, do you really understand the true picture of man? You know, the Bible says that really there are only two men who have ever lived. There is Adam, the first man, and there is Jesus Christ, the second man. Sometimes he's called the second Adam. The Bible says that when we're born into this world, we're born in Adam, because Adam and Eve didn't conceive any children until after they sinned. And when Adam and Eve sinned, then they had children and they produced sinners. And that's why David said in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Every baby that is born with a sin nature, born in Adam. You have to be born again to be in Christ. You have to receive Christ as Savior and Lord in order to be in Christ. Now, the Bible says in Adam, that's where we're all born. That's where we're all on the broad road that leads to destruction. In Adam, all die, but in Christ are all made alive. And so Paul, kind of like a lawyer in a courtroom, he is bringing the case against all humanity. Humanity sits in the defense, and Paul is a prosecuting attorney, and he is laying out the indictment from the Lord against man. And he's talking about all those who are in Adam, all those who are natural, as the scripture says, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. And so I want you to see with me four discoveries as we look through this passage together. Discovery number one, there is no one who is righteous. Look at verse 10. There is none righteous, not even one. And incidentally, verse 10, 11, and 12, it all comes from Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, and Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3. Those passages are identical. And in the New American Standard, all those Old Testament verses in the New Testament, they always show up as all caps to let you know this is a quotation from the Old Testament. And the Lord says, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. No one is holy, no one is just, no one is innocent before God. We're all guilty, guilty, guilty. Now, sometimes when you think of all the billions of people who have been born into this world since the time of Adam and Eve, you say, really? There's none righteous? Not even one? Well, what about Mother Teresa? I mean, she seemed like she was righteous. Nope. Not even one. Not even Mother Teresa. What about the Pope? Not even the Pope. Well, what about Billy Graham? Not even Billy Graham. Said, what about Nicodemus, the one that came to Jesus by night? Yeah, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He wasn't righteous. There is none righteous, not even one. And then he begins to unpack that some. He says that there is no one who understands God, who understands righteousness, who understands sinfulness. Verse 11, there is none who understands. Who understands what? Who understands about God? Who understands what righteousness really is? Who understands what sinfulness really is? See, most people in our world today, they think they're pretty good. Well, I'm not, you know, nobody, I've never heard anyone say, well, I'm perfect. Nobody says he or she is perfect, but they think they're pretty good. And the reason they think they're pretty good is because they like to line up against someone who's not so good. And they think, well, you know, I'm better than my neighbor across the street. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than this person, that person. You know, I read about Hitler. I'm a lot better than Hitler. And so we like to compare with the wrong person. Maybe you heard the story about the two brothers lived in a small town. They were vicious, evil, wicked, deceitful, cheating brothers. They cheated in business. They cheated on their wives. They drank all the time. They were just horrible. And everybody in town knew that. The Jones brothers. Well, one of them died. And so the other brother, who was still alive, he came to the preacher in town and said, I need you to do my brother's funeral. And he said, here's the deal. I will pay you $5,000 if you do his funeral. But here's the caveat. You have to say in his funeral that my brother was a saint. The preacher's like, he knew the brother. He knew these guys. And he's like, he thought for a minute. He goes, okay, I'll do it. And so the day of the funeral came, and, you know, they were doing all the open, you know, things that they do and reading the scripture and praying. And then the preacher got up and he began to talk about this dead man, Mr. Jones. And he said, here lies Mr. Jones. He was an evil, vicious, vile, abominable, grotesque, horrible, awful sinner. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. We compare to the wrong thing.
Well, Pastor Jeff will continue with this line of thought about perspective and life here on From His Heart in just a minute. He's in his message today entitled, Do You See What God Sees? From the 6-lesson series entitled, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Now, perspective is a critical thing. Without the proper perspective, people can make terrible decisions. Now, when you gain true perspective, you will stand amazed at the goodness of God and His patient dealings with you and me. How do you understand God? Would you say that you have defined God exclusively based on what other people have said about God or how you think godly people have acted and it's not so good? Well, you'll want to get this series from Pastor Jeff to help you recalibrate to the truth. The 6-message series is available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. And it's our gift of thanks to you for your support this month to From His Heart of any amount. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org to request Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Now let's get back to today's lesson. Do you see what God sees? Here again is Pastor Jeff.
How do you do compared to the Lord Jesus Christ? See, He's the standard. When we compare to the Hitlers of this world or some terrible, horrible, awful, overt sinner, we say, well, we match up pretty good, but they're not the standard. Jesus is the standard. And Jesus said, you shall be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And that leaves us all out. And we don't understand. We think that God grades on the curve. We think that when we die, we're going to stand before God and He's going to put all our good works on one side and all our bad works on the other side of His great scale that He has there. If our good works outweigh our bad works, that's what we're hoping for. And then we get to go to heaven because that's the way it works. We are better. We had more good than bad. But it doesn't work like that at all. See, it works kind of like this. Suppose you had a 5-gallon container of pure water, and then you mixed into the 5-gallon container of pure water a cup of raw sewage, and you poured that in there. And you said, well, this is pretty good. This is 5 gallons. Only one cup of sewage is 5 gallons of pure water. Who wants to drink that? Nobody. It's totally contaminated. Because once you add the sewage, the whole is ruined. That is man. And there is none, the scripture says, no one who understands that. And then it says that there is none, verse 11, who seeks for God. None righteous, no one understands, no one seeks for God, for the true God. You know where that's so beautifully pictured? in Genesis chapter 3, the very first sin with Adam and Eve. So they eat of the fruit, their eyes are opened, and now they know they're naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to hide their nakedness, and they're feeling pretty good about their new man-made religion, that they go their own way, and they can sew fig leaves, and they can make it their own way until God comes down in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, what did they do? They didn't seek God. They beat it to the bushes. They're hiding in the bushes. And God comes seeking man. Adam, Adam, where are you? Well, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? God was seeking man. Man doesn't seek God. The scripture says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the seeker. You know, we talk about sometimes we need to be seeker sensitive. Let me tell you, no one in and of himself on his own will seek God. Now, they may seek the things of God. They may say, well, you know, I want the blessings of God. I want the things that come from God's hand, but they don't want God himself. And churches are filled with people who are looking for God to give them health and wealth and wisdom and all these things from God, but they don't necessarily want to have a relationship with God. They just want the stuff from God. It's kind of like having a rich uncle, and you want to get close to your uncle. Why? So that you can get from him. You don't really care about him that much. You just want his stuff. And the Lord says, hey, there are people that do that. They want my stuff, but nobody naturally wants me. There's none who seeks after God. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. When you find someone who is seeking after God, just know this, God has done a work in that person's heart to draw them to that point, because by themselves, they're never going to come. So there is no one who understands God, no one who seeks God, and no one who wants to follow God, follow the true God. All have turned aside, it says. All have turned aside. They want to go their own way. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have what? We've gone astray. Each one has gone to his own way. That was the sin of Eve. If you eat this fruit, Eve, you will be like God, knowing good and evil, and you won't need to depend upon God, and you can go your own way, and you can be your own cheap little tin God. And she said, yeah, that's what I want, because I want to be captain of my own ship. I want to be master of my own destiny. And that describes man. He's not righteous. Why? Because he's going in the wrong way. You know, the Israelites in the book of Ezekiel would say to the Lord, the way of the Lord is not right. And God said, is it my way that's not right? No, it's your way that is not right. And like sheep, we've wandered away and we go our own way. And that covers every one of us. All have turned aside. And then it says, together they have become useless in the New American Standard. Unprofitable is one translation. I like the God's Word translation. It says this, everyone has turned away. Together they have become rotten to the core. No one does anything good, and not even one person. Rotten to the core. You know, that word for useless is a word that speaks of milk that's gone bad, meat that has become rancid. And so, do you see what God sees? God looks and he sees and he smells, and we are like sour milk to him. We're useless. What do you do with sour milk? You throw it out. Remember Jesus said, if salt loses its savor, it is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It says in Luke's gospel that salt that loses its saltiness is good for nothing. It's not good for the ground or for the manure pile. What do? You just throw it away. And that's what the Lord is saying as he looks at man. Good for nothing. Now, that is the big picture of the indictment. There is none righteous, not even one. And so the question comes in the courtroom, well, wait a minute, give us some specifics. And so the Apostle Paul goes into specifics. And he's going to talk now about what comes out of our mouths. You need some evidence in the courtroom? I can't just say that man is, there's none righteous, not even one. Well, let's give you some specifics. See, secondly, there is no one who speaks righteously. There's no one righteous, and it shows up in the way that they speak. Verse 13, their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, there are lots of passages in the Old Testament that talk about a man's mouth, a woman's mouth, a boy's mouth, a girl's mouth, that the human mouth and how we speak lies and we speak deceit. The Bible says that the lips of an adulteress drips honey, but smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. And there is the poison of asps in her mouth. When you think about a man's speech and what you hear, see, the Lord says, do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? You want to have evidence? Just listen to what comes out of people's mouths. Our speech, as people in Adam, is atrocious. It's atrocious. That word atrocious means horrifyingly wicked. Have you found out how difficult it is to watch a movie these days because of the language that is used in movies? Athletics have become just pools of vulgarities. I mean, you can't watch a game without seeing the coach. You can see his mouth and what he's saying and the players and what they're saying. And it's spilled over into the college ranks, into the high school ranks, and coaches who just have X-rated mouths. And you're like, why are you doing that? I love John Wooden, the coach of the UCLA Bruins from yesteryear. He's in heaven now. But John Wooden never used profanity. And he wouldn't allow that on his team. If you said a cuss word, you were out for the day. Because he said, that's a rule. We're not going to do that. And so his players said about John Wooden, they said, you know, he never cussed. But if he got mad, you'd hear him say, goodness gracious sakes alive. John Wooden was from the Midwest. One of his players said, whenever he said, goodness gracious sakes alive, that was a Midwest cussing from John Wooden. That was the worst thing that came out of his mouth. But today we have just all kinds of terrible things that pour out of the mouth.
Well, we're going to pause right there in our lesson for today, but we'll be back on Tuesday with part two of the lesson entitled, Do You See What God Sees? It's one of six messages in Pastor Jeff's series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Now, this series is our thank you gift for your support this month, and your support allows us to be on this station and on over 850 radio stations nationwide each and every day. We surely could not do that without you joining with us in this effort to reach the world for Christ. So, thank you for your gift this month. And when you do give it, we'll be glad to send you the series Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. It's available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. And know that you are helping impact the world for Jesus. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that you'll be here tomorrow for part two of Do You See What God Sees? That's when Pastor Jeff will open God's Word and share real truth, real hope, and real love from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.